What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward family hospital in partnership with physician owners.
It's a new year, and with T-Mobile, it's not about how far apart we are. It's about how close we can be. So we're bringing out our best deal. Right now, get the iPhone 12 on us on every single plan with eligible iPhone trade-in.
So I can FaceTime with my sister in Savannah.
That's right. The iPhone 12 on us on every plan. All on America's 5G leader in coverage. T-Mobile.
With 24 monthly bill credits and a new line plus tax. If you cancel, credit stop and balance on required finance agreement may be due. Contact us for well-qualified buyers. Qualifying consumer plan required. See coverage and offer details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Isaac Weishaupt from IlluminatiWatcher.com. You are listening to a special edition of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. Now, why is this special? Well, you know, on the last several episodes, I've been interviewing some pretty unique guests, but today, I am going to speak directly to you. That's right. I want to talk to you about this new project that I've been working on, and most of you have already been aware of this because several months ago, I sent an email out to the news list, the newsletter email subscription service that I have available through IlluminatiWatcher.com. And I asked what you would like my next project to discuss. Now, it was a two-way tie between aliens and the occult agenda in entertainment. So, what I did was I embarked on a journey that was to examine all of the literature and doctrine of the occult and explain how we see this in entertainment and why they believe what they believe and where they're headed and where they want us to ultimately go down the path with them, the dark path. And then I also provide a little bit of insight as to what we can do in response to this. So this book I wrote is called The Dark Path, and in it I go through several things that are very relevant to our world today. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit here. But first I want to talk to you as to why you should read my book, because I don't think you should just listen to me and believe me wholeheartedly without looking into things. So let me talk to you a little bit about myself. I am an author and a website blogger, whatever you want to call it, and I've got a certain perspective on these things. As I've talked about a million times before, I'm a Christian, albeit not a good one, and I do have a hard time with some components of the faith. But it is ultimately my worldview. I can't say that it doesn't play a part in this new book, but I do bring it up because it seems relevant to the agenda. So this is the first book I've written, the first project, where I've taken a more pro-Christian approach. But I assure you, if you're not Christian and you don't believe that, you will not see a lot of talk in this book about it. It's a very minor component, but I do give examples of why they, the Illuminati or the practitioners of the occult, seek to destroy Christianity, because that is a component of their agenda. But I don't approach it from the viewpoint of like this sort of victim of the circumstances. I just explain why they believe what they believe. What I do, why you should read my stuff, is because I look at things from the big picture. I like to connect the dots. I've got a master's degree from Penn State in systems engineering, and what we do in systems engineering is we look at the big picture and we try to look at the holistic advantages of the system. There's a principles of systems thinking, and I've talked about this in several of my radio interviews that I've done. It's this idea and this theory that when you've got systems in equilibrium, because you know that's all our world is a group of systems and subsystems. When all of these things are in equilibrium and you introduce a third system, you know, assuming we have two, the new system being introduced will automatically force the other systems to rearrange themselves. Now think about that. What they're saying is In order to cause changes in the world, all you simply need to do is introduce a new system or a new way of thinking. And this new system being introduced is obvious, because for years on IlluminatiWatcher.com, I've been showing you symbolism. And all of these symbols are part of this new system. It's the New World Order. So what I did in the book, what I did was I approached it as a research project, and I read occult doctrine and occult literature that explains what their agenda is, why they use these symbols, what they believe in. Now, I know most conspiracy theorists, if you want to call me that, are not very attractive to most, right? Most people are kind of disgusted with them, especially at this point, because the media has done a really good job at saying that all conspiracy theorists are basically Alex Jones, which basically means they all support Donald Trump, and it's all fake news. They've done a real good job at that this time. So I've got that to overcome, and I can assure you that's not me, but don't listen to me for that. Just, you got to read the material, look at my citations in the book, because when I wrote the book, I made comments and I made statements that I provided a footnote sort of citation in the back and the work cited. So if you don't believe me, or you get this book for somebody else who's a skeptic, if they don't want to believe it, they can look it up for themselves. You can see why all of these occultists say similar things. You'll see the patterns. It's very obvious once you look for it. I use occultists like Helena Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, Friedrich Nietzsche, philosopher, not quite an occultist per se, but his philosophy of nihilism is very evident in the big Illuminati agenda. So the reason I want you to read this book is because there is great value in this. And I say that because I've been researching this stuff long enough to know, because long ago I abandoned my previous research. Right, like when I started the website, I used to read David Icke books pretty much exclusively, and I would read websites that were sketchy at times. I'd watch YouTube videos, and I would fact check these things. And oftentimes, I found them to be a little bit fraudulent, a little bit misleading, a little bit fear mongering. Right, so what I ended up doing was trying to go down the path of understanding why these occultists believe what they do. Why do we see this all-seeing eye from every celebrity on the planet? Why are they doing this symbol? Why are they doing it all? It's because they're introducing the new system. So you have to understand that you could save yourself a lot of time in trying to understand all this stuff, because it's very frustrating. And I don't profess to know every single little component of this. All I did was put all of the dots and connect them together and said, okay, here is what basically they are all saying and basically where we are headed. Now, you can't do that by watching YouTube videos, because YouTube has done a really good job at shutting down the voices of truth and the channels that speak about things that are actually legitimate. Instead, they promote garbage-ass videos about stuff that doesn't make sense. And Mark Dice, not to pick on him, but I mean, they allow him to do what he does because he's the firewall keeping people from the truth. He wants to play TMZ and celebrity gossip, and I'm not interested in that. I mean, these are real people, in my opinion, these celebrities, and I think they're being subjected to the sort of inner workings of the occult. Some of them subscribe to it. Some of them are victims of it. Some of them lose their mind. But the fact remains is that a lot of these people that seem to have just millions of followers have no clue what they're talking about. They don't even cite a lot of this occult doctrine that they claim to be trying to inform you about. Like Aleister Crowley's Do What Thou Wilt. Oftentimes, a lot of theorists, they'll just say, oh, it's just chaos, and they're saying you can, you know, do whatever you want and just live free. And that's partially accurate, but not entirely. Aleister Crowley was saying that the universe had a certain calling for each of us, and the practitioner is to try to understand that and try to meditate upon that and figure out what that is and then pursue it at all costs. It's a little bit different. A lot of people don't, a lot of these theorists that are online, they don't go further than that. They just surface listen, and then, you know, oftentimes they take it right down the path of Christianity, which they're not incorrect in that either. The occultists are most definitely trying to destroy Christianity, and I've got all the sources for that in the book. So basically what I'm getting at is you can save yourself countless hours, days, weeks of frustration trying to watch these videos and listen to what these people are saying, and then you end up fact checking and it's not entirely accurate. You can save yourself a lot of time by reading this book and educate yourself and make your own opinion as to what is going on and to understand if you should be fearful or not. It's for real happening. There's a for real agenda. And, you know, I can prove a lot of these things. I've had several death threats. I've had very cryptic, weird emails. I've had strange things appearing on my phone. You know, there's a lot of weird things that have happened since I started this journey that are quite concerning to me. A great example. This is an example that sort of cements the points that I'm trying to bring up here. Taylor Swift. She had a new video come out for the song Look What You Made Me Do. I saw it. I immediately saw the many symbols that we've seen before of MKUltra, mind control, those sorts of things. The fact that Taylor Swift in the video talks about how the old Taylor Swift is dead. And, you know, this is the introduction of the new one because this is the beginning of her occult journey. I assure you that that is what's happening with her. But in my video I created for my YouTube channel, I talk about the symbols in it, and I used images directly from her video, and they were all in accordance with government fair use policies, because you are allowed to use other people's works if you are trying to make a point. So, like most of my videos, I took screenshots, not even clips of video, because YouTube loves to block it. If you try to upload a video of your own that has like videos of other videos, like motion picture, they will either block it or claim a copyright infringement, and they keep track of those things. And if you have too many of those, they shut your channel down completely. That's why a lot of these theorists are complaining about YouTube shutting them down, is because they do that. I'm a little more sly than that, and I know better than to do that. So what I do is I take still images, just enough to prove the point. So I made this video, and it's just like every other video I've made. I mean, I've made maybe 150 videos on the YouTube channel by now. I uploaded it, and it immediately got a ton of views. I think within a day, it was up to 25,000 views, which is pretty high. I've had more on other videos, but that's definitely in the top 5%, right? So this thing was really taken off, and the next thing I know, I get an email from YouTube saying that they turned the video off. They removed it. And I hadn't had that happen before. I've heard other people talk about this. I've heard other people talk about how YouTube shut their channel down completely. And I kind of always thought, well, you know, because these other people, these theorists, they'll say, oh, YouTube's trying to silence me and they shut me down. And I'm sure there's some truth to that. I'm positive there's truth to that. But I think most of the time that happens because they are infringing on the copyrights. They are taking the, you know, maybe the whole music video and playing the whole damn thing with the music on it to make their points. And, you know, I wonder if that's not why they get shut down. Because I've been very successful since I started the channel, not getting any real copyright infringement notices. I've got a couple. Like most of the videos, what happens is you'll get a notice that's set from the company that owns whatever. Like if I'm talking about, you know, Britney Spears, and I've got too much of her like images on there, or maybe a clip of the song or something, I'll get a notice from YouTube that says, hey, you know, whoever manages Britney Spears, Universal will say, I have no idea who does, but Universal has found that you're using their content, so, and that's fine, you're allowed to do it, but we are going to show ads on this video that Universal will collect, you know, revenue from. And that's fine, I don't care, go for it. So I let those happen, and those don't affect my account. But this one, out of nowhere, the first and only video that I've got that did this was my Taylor Swift video. I uploaded it, 25,000 views, and immediately shut it down, and I saw the email, so I said, what the heck's going on? So I opened up my YouTube account, and I can't even get into the damn thing. they had me shut out completely. And in their defense, I'm going to be straight up honest with you of what happened. They forced me to watch this copyright video and take a little copyright test. And it was all stuff I already knew. It was all stuff that I wasn't violating. It was talking about, you know, you can't use video and you can't use audio clips. And I said, yeah, got it. So I took the little dumb test, got back into my account, and they removed the video completely. And I logged into, one of the category settings that they have on there where you can look at it and see who filed the copyright complaint. And on it, usually, every other time I've had a copyright complaint, there would be a button to file a dispute where you can dispute it. And I've done this a million times, and I've said, this is in accordance with fair use, or I've said, something along those lines. And, you know, sometimes it gets me off the hook, sometimes it doesn't. But like I said, usually they just want the ad revenue, and I just forfeit it out and say, fine, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. But this one didn't even have that. This one just had an email address. Let me pull it up. Hang on one second here. All right, I'm back. So I looked it up on the email, and it's... I'm not going to give the email out because I don't want people harassing this company or whatever, but, it's public information that her management group is Big Machine. So I sent the email because it was like, it was some kind of like, very specific to copyright questions, the inbox that they gave me, the email address. So I did. I wrote them an email, said, hey, first I wrote the email and I was pissed off and I wrote this real nasty email and was like, what the hell are you doing? You can't just shut my video down. It's completely fair use. And I was kind of being a dick. And then I was kind of revising it and reading it. And I thought, okay, well, that's not going to get me. I want the video back up, right? That's my ultimate end game. I thought, okay, well, let me approach it a little more diplomatically, if you will. So I rewrote the email, and I was very, very polite on it. And I said something to the effect of, hey, you guys took down my video. I don't really understand why. It's in accordance with government fair use. I didn't use any video clips. I didn't use any audio clips. I just used still images. And as of this recording, which, I wrote the email to them maybe 2-3 weeks ago. As of this recording, they had not even responded yet. So the chances of me getting that video back up are gone because YouTube wants to control what you can listen to or hear or see. I mean, that's sort of in their right. I mean, it's their business. So, I can't say they're trying to shut down free speech, but they are most definitely shutting down certain forms of speech. Now, the case gets a little more curious because this morning I was doing some research on an article where I analyze if Taylor Swift is in the Illuminati or not because I'm a vindictive jerk. I can't wait to see what they think about that when I publish that one. But I was researching, watching her videos, and I noticed it had, like, in the suggested videos... It had a video by this this girl's got this channel called Spy Kitten TV, and I don't know anything about her. I just saw this video, and the video is called "Something Strange Is Happening to Taylor Swift. Look What They Made Her Do," which is actually pretty clever because it alludes to the idea that she is being controlled by the puppet masters, which I agree with. But in the video that she made, she uses the whole damn music video. Go watch it. You go look it up. Again, her name is, the channel is Spy Kitten TV, and the video is called "Something Strange Is Happening to Taylor Swift. Look What They Made Her Do." The thing's got almost 1 million views as of right now, as I'm looking at it, 911,000 views, and YouTube is promoting it. And I watched the video. I made it like 3 minutes in, and I don't want to pick on the girl, but like the shit's boring. She's not telling me anything. She's rehashing everything that most of us already know. She's not giving you any details on it. And it's like all these other YouTube videos where, like, you got to sit through three minutes of preamble where they're telling you nothing. And it's very frustrating. But anyways, this video, it kills me because they're using all of Taylor Swift's video. And for some reason, this one's allowed to go. And why is that? Well, I've got a video that I'm uploading where I draw out with my excellent artwork how this whole thing works. I know at this point the way this is working is that for sure Google and YouTube are censoring certain people. They're censoring certain voices for a variety of reasons. Some of them justified, like they don't want to promote some of these hate speech people. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm a free speech guy. Like, I don't think you should shut anyone down. But, like, I also get the YouTube, you know, that's a bad look for them if they've got neo-Nazis on there ranting and raving about Jews and black people and stuff. And, like, you know, fuck those guys anyways. Like, I'm not into all that racial stuff and all this bigotry. And, like, that's just ignorant attitude. And I think those people need to grow up. But so, like, I'm okay with that on some levels. But, like, I also think, you know, it is free speech. You're allowed to have that opinion in our country. But the point is, YouTube wants to tell you what you can watch. And you have to look at how Google has been sort of influencing the whole culture. They run a lot of stuff. And I picked on them in I wrote a book about it called I don't even remember the title. It's so wordy. Something about Google and transhuman apocalypse. So it's kind of funny that now they're shutting me down. But Google's got so much influence, and they are becoming a little bit too powerful. But the truth is, there's no other options. I tried to upload my videos in a few different formats, and nothing's really panning out. I tried, my most recent one is Daily Motion, because they allow me to put the videos on there, and it hasn't been pulled off yet. But nobody's on there. I mean, I got a few hundred views versus I put something on YouTube and I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of views. I've got a couple of videos that went viral at 1 million, 2 million views. So what's the point here? I don't want to keep rambling. The point is, we are entering into uncharted waters here. Google and YouTube have been established as the source for information. And now we know for a fact they are filtering out the information and catering it towards the certain views that benefit them. Now, just sort of like politics, there are lobbyists. So who do you think runs this thing? Who do you think is greasing the palms at Google and make sure that their message is the number one on the search results? And I'm not going to go further into it. I don't want to be overly paranoid. I'm curious to see what you think. Do some research on it. Look it up. Look at all the attempts being made to censor internet usage and to like the net neutrality stuff. They're trying this stuff. They're trying to dictate who gets their information out to the most people. And I believe they passed it in, I think it was the UK. They passed some kind of net neutrality bullcrap over there. And they're trying here in America. They've done it a couple times and it's failed both times, but they're going to keep going. They're going to keep doing this. It's going to pass. And then at that point, you know, your Comcast or whoever your internet service provider is, what they're going to do is they're going to open up they're going to speed up certain lanes of traffic. So, example, if Comcast has an agreement with MTV's website, we'll say, well, Viacom and MTV, they're going to pay Comcast a little bit more than a guy like me is going to pay them for my, you know, they host my website or whatever. So like when you at home are searching for this stuff, when you go to MTV's website, it's going to load up real quick. When you go to my website, it's going to load up really slow because they control the flow of traffic with that net neutrality garbage. And I guarantee you that's going to pass. I give it a few more years, but anyways, I said I wasn't going to be paranoid and I'm already just keeping it very paranoid. But let's talk about the book now. Let's talk about something a little more positive here. This book, I asked about it several months ago on an email. I said, what do you guys want? And boom, I got it. I got it for you. And I believe, and I appreciate that actually, because this helps steer me down this path, you know, no pun intended. And it's actually an awesome resource because my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, that was supposed to be a beginner's guide to all things conspiracy, kind of proving that there is an agenda at play here. And I do believe that that is a good book for that. That's a good book for people that are like, you know, straight out the gate beginners in this. But this one is good for those kind of people and also good for people that are already familiar with these topics. Because I've talked to a lot of people and a lot of people, they're familiar with these ideas of the Illuminati and the symbolism. They just don't quite get how the pieces fit together. So this book does that. I put the pieces together and I also give you the citations. So if you're talking to the people at work, you know, the the infamous water cooler conversation. If you're talking to them about this stuff and they say, oh, that's not happening, you're full of it, you can look up in the book, the citation in the back, and say, boom, Aleister Crowley said it in the Book of Lies or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But I put it all together. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of sleepless nights, so to speak. And what I found on this journey that you helped steer me down when you said this is what we want you to write a book about is quite interesting, because in my first book, A Grand Unified, I opened up in the first chapter and was like, hey, look, I'm a Christian, but I don't really dig that conspiracy theories always seem to link into the Christian aspect, so I'm going to separate the two. And that's how I viewed my first book. And over the years of research, I found that nothing could be further from the truth, because the reality is that the two are inextricably linked. It's true that there is a Luciferian agenda. It's true that the occultists want to break down and destroy Christianity because they believe it to be heretical to their belief system. And you can understand why that is when you read the book. You know, that's not the scope of this episode of the podcast. We'll be here all damn night. But this is, just know that this is kind of a comprehensive guide to understanding and decoding this entire Illuminati agenda, in which they use occult symbolism and messages in entertainment. These are sort of esoteric worldviews, and like I've shown you for years on the website, music videos, film, television, the high-profile rituals known as the you know, the MTV Video Music Awards or the Super Bowl halftime performances. And I also use a lot of examples from those so that whoever's reading this book can not just hear me say, oh, they're doing this thing. They can look at the countless examples and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was kind of weird. There's some stuff that I've written about in the past that I've gone into a little bit more detail here on, some new stuff. You know, because, as you know, I've been sort of slacking on the website. I haven't been blogging as much because I've been doing a lot of research and writing on this book. And what I found is that the alien agenda is part of this sort of thing, and it's a demonic deception, and from what I can gather. And it's this, it's very important to this sort of path they want to take us down, the dark path, hence the title, right? So we see these occult concepts demonstrated in, you know, films, television. Predictive programming is also a component of this, and I talk about that in one of the chapters. I talk about all these connections that it'll make your head spin, because you'll realize how all these things are connected, and they're all telling us the same story. You know, Disney, the Beatles, Star Wars, Rihanna, Led Zeppelin, Jay-Z, Katy Perry, Harry Potter, the alien films, Batman, Ancient Aliens, and the comic book superhero movement. They're all related. They're all doing the same thing. And it's funny because when you check out the occult literature that I link to, you can see that it's all the same exact thing. It's just, you know, you take a couple of the ideas of the occult and, you know, of this, you know, idea of the Superman, and you can see how they say, like, sort of like the Illuminati are like, oh, well, Helena Blavatsky's saying there's people with superpowers. Let's make a form of entertainment with people with superpowers. And then these kids watch this stuff, and then they think they could be, you know, the next X-Men or Batman or Superman or whatever. I guess Batman's a bad example. I don't think he has any superpowers, but anyways. Yeah, so, and I detail all that. I lay it all out in the book. I make distinction between all these sort of occult groups, the Kabbalists, Gnostics, Freemasons, alchemists, ceremonial magic, and why they believe in this concept of magic, because it's all related to this creation belief system that they have. They believe that God created the world through mental emanations. That's what the Tree of Life basically is in Kabbalah. And they're trying to, you know, indoctrinate their belief system into us through what they call the evolution of consciousness. They're trying to promote this transhumanistic agenda, which will ultimately serve to destroy the male-female duality. And this is something that many people have been pushing for. NASA, Hitler, the Nazis, the ancient alien theorists, they all use this concept of evolution to say, you know, mankind needs to evolve into something better, to the point where they've tried to contact alien life forms. And to me, this is no different than any other form of trying to connect in with another dimension. You've got the possibility of becoming sort of possessed by demons. And when you look at the alternate version of history from the occult worldview, you can see how they believe Lucifer is the true savior. They think he is the misunderstood hero. He's the one that is seeking to evolve us into something better. And I don't know that these occultists are, you know, so much evil. I think when you look at a lot of their belief systems, they're not all bad people. I think they're just misguided. Because the desire is to put us in this sort of transhuman digital matrix and evolve us into something greater, a globally connected, digitized form of consciousness. So in the book, I go through all of that. I go more personal in this book than I ever have before. I share a lot of stories. Well, not a lot, a few stories. I talk about my personal approach into the Faustian bargain, because that happened, right? I talk about how certain interviews I did and certain radio shows, which I sort of got duped into, not duped into, but they turned out to be more of a hack job. They helped confirm a lot of these beliefs that I was curious about. And this book details a lot of these sort of experiences that if you've followed me for a while, you're familiar with already. That's all I'm going to say about that. But yeah, I think you're really going to enjoy this book. It's got my little advice on what to do at the end. It's my sort of self-help version, sort of self-help book, just the chapter at the end. And that's just how I view things. And, you know, you can do with it what you want. But I assure you, once you read this book and you fact check a lot of the things that are being said, it's going to blow your mind. If you don't already know all this stuff, you're going to become a believer. And anyone who reads this book is going to most definitely question reality and wonder how far they've been duped and how far they've been led down the path of the evolution of consciousness. So let's talk about where you can get this book, because I took painstaking care to make sure I could get it in as many channels as I could. First, as you know, I've got a store on the Gum Road. That's gum as in like bubble gum. The store is Isaac W. You can go on my website. I've got links to all this stuff. I've got an article on the dark path. But on the Gum Road, you can buy the PDF file, and that is readable on just about anything. You can also go on Amazon. That's actually my preferred channel of buying things. So you can go on Amazon and get it for Kindle, or you can buy the paperbacks on there. Or you can buy the paperback on CreateSpace, which is actually that they help the artist more so than other channels, I should say. I'm not going to say too much, but CreateSpace helps me more than other people do, like, because it's also available on iTunes, right, as an ebook. So you can get it on Amazon or iTunes or Gumroad, whatever you want to do. I don't care. Just I'd rather you read the book. I'm not so concerned about how you go about getting it. I've also got paperbacks. Yes, I've got paperbacks sitting in my office right now as we speak, waiting for me to personally sign it to you and throw it in the mailbox. Quantities are limited as always. I try to keep these things in stock, though. This is going to be the best book I've written, so I really want you to read this one. Another option, the author-narrated Audible audiobook. And I like these because I personally would rather listen to an audiobook than read one. This is a process, though, because the Audible format system, which I know most people aren't real familiar with it, it's a real pain in the ass, let me tell you. But it's a labor of love, because I know that you, if you're like me, you'd rather listen to the audiobook than read the paperback, because it's hard. It's hard to find time to do this stuff. So for me, if I'm listening to an audiobook, I can get at least an hour in the morning while I'm getting ready for work, driving to work, and then maybe a half hour later in the day. So, I mean, in a week, I could knock a whole book out just by listening to it. So what I had to do for this one, a little funny sort of, I guess it's more me crying about it, but what I had to do this time, because it's, you know, I wrote this book over the summer, but when you record these books, you got to have like zero background noise. You can't have anything. So I would have to get up real early before work. I go into work pretty early to begin with, but I had to get up super early, turn off the air conditioning, turn off the fans, close the windows because, you know, every little cricket outside or whatever driving by would, you know, be too much noise. You got to have pure silence. I think I got 3 yippy chihuahuas, but they're so sleepy in the mornings. They don't bark in the morning. Every other time they are. But the room is so hot. I'd be sitting here just sweating bullets trying to read without making any excess noise or moving around because every little noise shows up on these damn things, and then Audible will kick it back if they hear anything. So that was quite the ordeal to put that together, but I think it's a very powerful tool. I think a lot of people enjoy this. I get a lot of great reviews on Audible, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the reviews you guys give on all those feeds, Amazon, iTunes, whatever. The reviews are probably the most important component of this thing on your end. Besides, you know, getting the book, understanding the material, and reading it, to leave the review, which is like an extra step, and I know it's a hassle. What that does is that plays into the algorithms that are used online. So if I've got a lot of good reviews for the book, it shows up higher on Amazon search, higher on the Google search, all that crap. So like that's ultimately the way for other people to wake up and read this thing too. So if you want other people to understand why we think the way we do, leave the review and that'll help in ways that you don't even understand. It's hard to get the reviews from people, and I get it, man. Like I'm not trying to hassle people for the reviews, but I really appreciate it when they do. And I read all of them. I read every single review on my podcast, on every single book I've written. I constantly read them because I'm trying to create a product that is, you know, not only entertaining, but I also want to inform people. And I don't want to inform just the same people, you know, over and over that already subscribed to this. I want this thing to catch on and the masses to read it, because I think if more people understand this and we don't have to rely on these sort of eccentric theorists that YouTube loves to promote more so than people like me, you know, they need more rational minded people talking about this instead of the Alex Jones people screaming about how they're turning the frogs gay, you know? But yeah, I think most of you are on the same page as I am. But anyways, you can grab the book. It's pretty much everywhere. The Dark Path by Isaac Weishaupt. And as I talk about in the book, Weishaupt is not my real last name. Don't think you're supporting the Bavarian Illuminati that had Adam Weishaupt as the founder. I talk about the origins of my stupid alias name and why that got chosen in the book. And it's got a lot of personal touches in it. So I think if you've been following me for some time, I think you'll really enjoy it. So again, thanks for the feedback you guys give me on the reviews, as well as the surveys, the survey that I sent out asking what you wanted this next book to look like, because I think it helped me create the best book there is that I've written so far. And I've written several books, but this one is the most powerful tool there is, and I'm really excited for you to read it. And I want to thank you again for your time, and I'll let you go. Have a great day. If you like the podcast, leave a review for the podcast, Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. All right, thanks again. Oh, actually, I'm not done yet. I am going to actually at the end of this show, I'm going to have the 5-minute preview that Audible allows me to give you for the audiobook, in which you can hear me narrate a certain section of the book. So enjoy that. That is sort of like a teaser. If you want to get the audiobook, again, it's on Audible or Amazon.com. If you want the signed author signed paperbacks, they are on the Gumroad Isaac W. store for The Dark Path. You'll see it on there. All right, thanks again. To be brought from this experience is that this book is written from the perspective that statements being made need to be backed up with examples from entertainment and occult doctrine. Not everyone believes every conspiracy theory out there, and I'm in that same camp because there needs to be a decent amount of evidence for me to subscribe to it. I've provided an exhaustive number of examples, and they all trace back to the teachings of the occult. From the Babylonian stargazers, to the ancient mystery schools of Egypt and Rome, to the Freemasons, Kabbalists, ancient alien theorists, and ceremonial magicians, they all direct back to a basic worldview of the occult, and this book reveals it for us profane folks to understand. In this book, I reveal the power and purpose behind symbols, using examples from entertainment like Jay-Z's and Beyoncé's rock diamond as the triangle of manifestation. We can learn how the doctrine of the occult operates. It also becomes evident that predictive programming in television shows and films, such as Batman Dark Knight Rises, plays a larger role in dark events, such as the Sandy Hook shootings. Many musicians, such as Katy Perry and Rihanna, have works that are laden with Illuminati concepts, and this book reveals several instances to prove this point. To understand why the Illuminati think the way they do, we explore the secret history that the practitioners of the occult subscribe to. In it, we find out that the true savior of their world is the Prometheus archetype that traces back to the serpent from the Garden of Eden. Luciferian concepts make themselves known in entertainment like Westworld, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Alien Covenant. So this book provides analysis on all of these familiar works. The final stages of the agenda are to use science fiction as a subconscious programmer through shows like Ancient Aliens to implant ideas of an alternate, higher consciousness. NASA's history of occultism is revealed as we see the pieces of the puzzle fit together to understand why we're pursuing contact with aliens, which could very well be demonic entities. These different approaches are used in conjunction with technology to push us down the transhumanism movement, which seeks to destroy God's creation, mankind. The final chapter reveals my personal way forward out of this negativity. I also answer many questions that have been posed to me over the years through the Illuminati Watcher Project. I promise that I'm not fabricating anything inside of this book. If these truths weren't so evident, I would have bagged this exploration years ago, but the more I learn, the more obvious the agenda seems. On that note, I'd like to advise that I won't be going deeply into some of these esoteric practices. The reason is twofold. One, I want this book to be for anybody to read and comprehend. If I go too far in the weeds, I'm sure half the readers will lose interest. Reason two is that I'm far from an expert on the practice. I've researched enough to understand what their purpose and intent is, but there are nuances that I'm confident I don't fully understand. I'll be providing brief primers on the subjects as needed. The occult concepts are extremely complex and well beyond the scope of this book. The sources utilized to write this book will be clearly listed, so if the reader wants to learn more about the world of the occult, they are free to check out some of the citations, such as Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law, Kenneth Grant's The Magical Revival, Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages, Anton LaVey's The Satanic Bible, or Helena Blavatsky's Isis Unveiled, to name a few. My goal is to open your mind to the possibility that our entire world is susceptible to influences beyond our comprehension. Certainly not calling for a boycott on music, films, or anything of that nature, especially the people I use as examples in this writing. After all, they are most likely victims of this scheme. I don't know why I've been chosen to go on this journey, and I surely don't know how you and I found each other. The reality is that reading this book will change your fundamental view of this world, or at the minimum, the entertainment you digest. Make no mistake about it, this is my greatest understanding of this enormously difficult and complex topic.
What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
It's a new year, and with T-Mobile, it's not about how far apart we are. It's about how close we can be. So we're bringing out our best deal. Right now, get the iPhone 12 on us on every single plan with eligible iPhone trade-in.
So I can FaceTime with my sister in Savannah.
That's right, the iPhone 12 on us on every plan. All on America's 5G leader in coverage, T-Mobile.
With 24 monthly bill credits and a new line plus tax. If you cancel, credit stop and balance on required finance agreement may be due. Contact us for well-qualified buyers. Qualifying consumer plan required. See coverage and offer details at T-Mobile.com.